Talking with Mark Dopp from the American Meat Institute, AMI. Mark, as we think about the whole question here, you brought up the fact here at the tail end that the elephant in the room is indeed the gypsum rule. How serious is this thing that's been proposed by USDA?
It's extremely serious, and we think it's extreme. It could be extremely damaging. It could set the industry back, in our view, 25, 30 years.
You know, clearly the proponents of the rule say that there's no unintended consequences out there. They're saying there's not any fear of litigation. There's not going to be a single price. They're very much wanting to push this thing across the finish line.
Well, I'll say this. There are some unintended consequences. There are some intended consequences. In my view, the rule is intended to affect behavioral change with the packers. What you have is, my perspective, is that you've got a sector or a segment of the producer community that is attempting through this rule, and they're the ones who pushed it through, they're attempting to prohibit or provide sufficient disincentives to the packers, essentially to prohibit their competitors, because we tend to forget producers compete. One sector of the producing community is attempting to limit what their competitors are able to do in terms of marketing their products. Because if somebody thinks that if the rule goes through as proposed, that there will not be a disincentive for packers to utilize marketing agreements and some of the other alternative marketing arrangements that are out there, they're fooling themselves.
I know that we've heard from some of the, the proponents are saying right now that this particular measure is maybe even their first step. They'd still like to see a ban on packer ownership somewhere down the road.
I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that at all. But, I mean, the rule doesn't go there. Well, indirectly it does, because the packer-to-packer sale ban, if you think about it, really, it's an indirect effort not to ban outright packer ownership of livestock, but to terribly discourage. Because if you are a packer and you own livestock and you can't sell them to some other packer in an efficient manner, and the classic example is the plant up in Washington State that also has feedlots in Kansas, well, there's no way he's going to ship those cattle back across the Rocky Mountains. So what is he going to have to do? He's going to have to sell them to some third party, maybe you, for example. Well, what does that do? That simply introduces additional inefficiencies into the system. Because when that third party buys them, he can't get more from the packer that they would have gone to or that they're going to today, can he? So all it's done is introduce additional costs. It's an indirect discouragement of packer ownership.
We've got the three elements of government, the judicial, the Congress, and now the administration.
Exactly. Right.
The administration seems to be trying to run the bus here.
That's our view. And we don't think, and frankly, I think if you ask a lot of the producers that work that are affiliated with NCBA and NPPC and a lot of others, they don't think the government should be doing that either. These are private transactions. Like I said, willing seller, willing buyer, it's a private deal.
As far as if this rule is implemented, what's the recourse for the industry?
Well, assuming that it's finalized as proposed, I'm not sure how broadly this would happen, but I would suspect somebody or some collection of somebodies would probably seriously think about challenging the rule in court. Now, I'm not prepared to tell you that we're going to do that. I'm not sure. We'd have to take a careful look at that, but it's premature. Right now, we're just hoping that the agency goes back and seriously rethinks the types of problems that we've pointed out to them so that they can, you know, rethink what they have done.
Could a future Congress reverse some of this stuff once it's, you know, out of the bottle?
The Congress always has the ability to in fact, they've done it in the past, not often, but the Congress has taken steps with other agencies, with other departments to say, no, we're gonna reverse that rule. They've got that authority. In fact, that's one of the problems with the rule. Our argument, we believe strongly that a lot of the elements that are in the rule were considered by the Congress in the 2008 Farm Bill and rejected. And yet you've got the agency moving forward and pushing some of those things. For example, changing the limit, the burden of proof, if you will, the standard of evidence on the not having to prove competitive injury. That was considered in the 2008 Farm Bill, and the Congress rejected it. Yet it's proposed in this rule. And we just don't think, if you couple that with the fact that you've got eight different courts that have looked at the issue and told many times the Department of Agriculture, you're wrong, it's not up to the government, it's not up to the executive branch to make that change. That's something for the legislature to do.